Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
It's a Dapper Devil production, see?
Glee, aggressive.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Glee.
Glee.
Aggressive.
Aggressive.
My name is Karina Stokes.
And I am so angry, guys.
Yeah. And thank God we're here to discuss Season 5, Episode 20, the season finale of Season 5 of Glee, called The Untitled Rachel Berry Project.
Man, we really made it. This podcast survived a double strike.
And for what?
I was thinking about that the other day, too. Like, man, Season 5, not only was it a slog, but it was fully prolonged by, like, our forced three-month hiatus.
I know. On the worst episode, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The cliffhanger that we set ourselves up for.
And again, for what and for why?
For what and for why?
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Did we say when it aired originally?
No, we didn't. Okay. I was getting distracted. May 13th, 2014.
Okay. Almost 10 years ago. Well, not almost 10 years ago to the day.
I mean,
it's still March.
It's still March. We've got some time. But, you know, it definitely 10 years ago.
Yeah. So we do have a Glee cap. Of course, we have Rachel's whole dumb saga.
Yep.
Sam's a model. Mercedes is here about to go on tour. Shirley MacLaine and Blaine.
Shirley MacLaine, yes.
A plus.
So, in a fit of, I don't know if this is hubris, my first note is, who'd want to watch a show about Rachel Berry? And then I got smacked in the face with the realization that, oh no, this is the show about Rachel Berry. We've been doing this the whole time. It's not a matter of who would want to, it's that we've been forced to. Like,
holy
ugh.
Shit.
Let's sit down and watch a show about this girl. Uh-oh.
Ryan Murphy, you win again.
Yeah, he got me good this time.
Oh my God, I can't even begin to like articulate the meta of it all right here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, could you imagine Ryan Murphy just sitting in his own like home office or something and this being like the long game of like, let's create a show so toxic.
Yeah,
that people will wonder at the end of season 5 who would watch a show about this girl, and here you are.
Yeah. It hurts that this is what we've done.
Thank you for that though.
You're welcome.
That laugh made my whole fiscal quarter.
Yeah, so that was my shame in realizing that it's the call is coming from inside the house really.
Oh my God. We open on Mercedes and Sam.
Yes.
Proper. So he has an audition for, is it called Treasure Trails?
Treasure Trails with a Z. Yep.
Yeah.
A manscaping product.
Yes. And this is important to him because it's his dream of being almost naked on the side of a bus.
Yeah, which, like, slay.
So relatable.
For all of us in the world.
For all of us.
And they're having Monday night dinner or whatever night it's supposed to be. I don't care.
Truly, we'll get back into the whole time of it all.
And the big excitement is that the writer from LA is supposed to be coming out and observing them as friends because Rachel's like, well, this is what makes me. So if people are going to have a show about me, they need to know, these know my friends. So that's
why
she's coming
to dinner.
Which, to be fair,
I did exactly that, and I won an award for it. I'm not on Fox yet, but you know.
Yet. That's a threat.
That's and a promise. I am available.
Not on Fox. Threatening. But the door knocks, and surprise, it's Brittany S. Pierce.
Yeah.
She explains why they haven't bothered to write her in this season. She lost her passport, and she covered her phone.
Yes.
And she's
she
like,
broke up with Kiki, the assistant.
Yeah, and she's like, where's Santana? And here's,
and they quickly
here's
go on.
Here's a little bit of tea of this episode, right? They're like, oh, she's in Iowa or Idaho. I don't know which.
No, she's back in Ohio filming a Yeast-O-Stat commercial.
It's not Ohio. It's either Idaho or Iowa.
Oh, shit. And I wrote that down, too, I thought.
It's
You're right.
Iowa. It's Iowa.
Okay.
So she's in Iowa filming a Yeast-O-Stat commercial because apparently they have the best flowing great fields of grain to run through.
America.
And then this is when, I don't know if you realize totally, but then you're like, oh, so there's just no Naya Rivera in the season 5 finale of Glee?
Nope.
And the word is that she was, in fact, it's not like she was, she was written out of this finale.
Yo!
So, like, of course, everyone's like, it's because of the feud with Lea Michele last episode. But
of course.
Yes.
Wow.
She was reportedly, reports at the end of April from 2014 from like E! And MTV, and like they're not like, it's all like gossip raggy, but
right.
That she was written out of the season 5 finale.
Do we think that's why Britney was written back in?
That's what this one thing says, that they have a last minute Heather Morris to explain the location of MIA Santana. Like, yeah, to like fulfill having an extra friend around.
Yep.
But it feels shady as fuck.
Wow. Oh my god, yes it does.
Damn. But yeah, Britney's here. It's, you know, we love a Britney.
Welcome back, baby.
I'm happy for you that you weren't in most of this season, quite honestly.
Honestly, bullet dodged.
Yeah, for real.
Way to have that baby in time.
Right, for real.
And so then there's another knock on the door.
Yes.
And here's Kristen Schaal,
Kristen,
you know,
Schaal's
from Bob's
here.
Burgers.
Yeah. I checked that Bob's Burgers had been on the air for about 3 years at this point. So it makes sense.
Oh, wow.
Right? Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you're right. Bob's Burgers only started in like 2011.
So like, that feels like an appropriate get, that people were like, oh, I recognize, like, that's Louise. Like,
right.
And Bob's Burgers also airs on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, synergy there.
It's in the family.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she is very millennial coded.
She's very millennial coded.
And like a Jessica Day New Girl, kind of.
Also on Fox.
Yeah. So, she's very twee.
And very twee. And I thought this was, and I'm really glad that it wasn't, I thought this was about to be like a Jewish stereotype kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go that route.
No, they
which,
didn't.
Which, thank God, I would have had a real problem if that was that.
No, just like a lot of talk about like, I have a Tuesday, Thursday therapist, mm-hmm. and like, I have tummy issues. It's all very millennial girl coded. Like,
and then, of course, when we get to the pilot, all the hashtags.
Yeah. It does feel like someone who would say, like, Doggo and Pupper still, you know?
Right.
Which, like, you know, we can all look at that character and be like, yeah, I see. I see where you're coming from. It's a caricature, of course. But, yeah, I get
it. Oh, man.
Unfortunate. But,
yeah, so they get to writing. Rachel mentions the two gay dads. Great, we can use that.
But she says they work for NASA for some reason.
Yeah. Rachel's like, oh, I do 8 shows a week, so it's kind of tiring. And Kristen Schaal goes, okay, lazy.
Because she's also typing on a typewriter, which is, again, very,
very, not only millennial coded, but, like, Brooklyn hipster coded.
Yep, it's got hipster written all over
it. We went to college with that guy.
Yeah, we did. And then she talks about, of course, how she got her start in Glee Club.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen Schaal's like, we can't use that. Acapella thing is so
Acapella's
over. And
dead.
Rachel's like, oh, okay.
Which also feels like a tiny dig at, like, the Pitch Perfect universe, of course.
And then she has, like, this whole thing, like, can I use your bathroom? I'm not going to pee. I'm just going to rummage through your cabinets. And before you answer, just remember that it's opposite day, which is, like, okay.
What?
Yeah, and so Rachel's like, yes? And Kristen Schaal's like, thank you. And she goes to rummage through her bathroom cabinets.
Yep.
It's all like, it's a caricature. It's dialed to 11 and it shows. But it's like, okay, I didn't find most of it funny.
Right. And at the same time, dialing it up to 11, that is what I expect from this kind of character in the Glee universe.
Yes.
Like, if Glee knew what it was and committed to what it was, that would fit right the fuck in.
I didn't think most of it was funny, but I at least understood what they were trying to do.
Right. So then we cut to the launch mall? Of Mercedes shopping mall tour. Yep. Go off, Robin Sparkles.
For
okay,
real.
Girl.
For real. We love a shopping mall tour.
We love a shopping mall tour. Britney is the star backup dancer. Fuck yes.
And they're meeting up with Santana in Reno, who will also be joining them.
Great.
And so we get to hear Mercedes, like an original song from Glee, which is, I guess, supposed to be Mercedes' lead single,
mm-hmm.
called Shaking My Head. Okay, first of all, Britney's the star backup dancer, but it's just her and four dudes, which is like the weirdest lineup in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is it just Britney and four dudes?
You know, reasons.
They couldn't have had, like, it's like five people and one of them's Britney. And she's, like, featured mostly, I guess, but also just because she's the only girl, so it really sticks
right.
out.
It does.
Ian, what do you think about this song?
It's a song. I didn't really know what it was about.
Okay.
Until, like, kind of the end where she goes, what's wrong with the world today? And I'm like, okay, I guess that's the theme.
So I pulled up the lyrics for us so we can
yes.
hit some highlights here, including when it starts to hit you, which is lines like, why does gravy give you heart attacks? Which is followed up by, and why do Republicans hate the blacks? Which you're like, oh, okay.
I mean, two valid questions.
How come Jesus looks like a white guy when he's from Palestine? That can't be right.
Also a valid question.
One of my personal favorite couplets. Why does TV have too many ads? And why are dogs always licking their nads?
I completely missed that. I
Me
think
too.
Because I was trying so hard to be like, is this a good song?
And then... that's followed up, by the way, with why do we keep borrowing from China and why do some flowers look like vaginas? So.
Wait, Mercedes actually said that?
Yes.
Who wrote the song?
Great question. Hold on. Before I tell you, though, I need to. And then it goes, talks a lot about the Lord more because it says, when I fly to heaven, God will set
yep.
me straight. Like, how come I drink Diet Coke and I keep gaining weight? Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Yeah, you know it's true, but God, you got
yeah.
some explaining to do. This was written by, it says it was produced by Ryan Murphy and then
okay.
some Swedish people. Can I tell you the vibes I think of what it is?
Please, because I'm also looking it up, but because we're on the same Google account.
Yeah.
I'm seeing your search history.
Hilarious.
Right.
It was written by Adam Anders and Peter Astrom.
Okay, that makes sense, because this is clearly, like, the Swedish invasion of
right.
it all.
So, here's the vibe I get from this song.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the pitch was, it's like Alanis Morissette's Ironic, but black.
That's way too accurate. That's like,
it feels
man.
Like they were like, we just need a cool urban version of Alanis Morissette's Ironic.
That is 100% it. Holy shit.
And I don't think that makes it a good song.
I don't think that makes it a good song, and I don't think that means they succeeded at it.
No, because Amber Riley sounds good.
She sounds good. It's truly one of those songs where it's like...
If you didn't listen
you
to any
you could vibe
words,
with it or whatever,
yeah.
but the second you realize what the lyrics are, you're like, what the
As fuck? Soon as we got to Why Do I Keep Drinking Diet Coke and Still Gaining Weight, I was like, uh-oh. And
that
then
one
I went
stuck
back,
out to me.
And then I was like, why are you singing about gravy? Like, why are
That's
you talking about
a...
gravy and then following that... it up with how Republicans hate black people?
I mean, that being said, I will respect anyone who can just fit gravy into a song.
It feels like
I don't think I could do it successfully. Then again, I'm a vegetarian.
You know what, though? It sounds like an improv challenge where they're like, all right, folks, we're going to write a song right here on the spot. Can you give us a word we have to fit in?
Gravy.
Okay, okay.
I heard gravy.
I heard gravy. And now give us a place. China. Okay.
Well, oh, I heard someone say Palestine. Okay, we'll do it both.
Yep. And something about a dog licking its balls? Great, we got it. So
oh
it's a bad song, and I feel bad for Amber Riley for having to sing it with a straight face.
I vaguely remember, I think it was Glee Boot, I think it was our friends on Glee Boot,
mm-hmm.
that warned me about this. Because when I heard the lyrics shake in my head, yes, they were.
It's, yeah, it's not good. It sounds, like I said, if you didn't have to hear any of the lyrics, you'd be like, Amber Riley sounds good singing.
Right. Which, like, you didn't need this song to tell you that.
Yeah. I do not believe she claims this. I don't think this is something that she has ever performed again, so.
Amber Riley, take the TikTok. We need to know answers.
He would do it, too, for a paycheck, you know?
That. I think he solved it for us. Also, I have a question.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is this mall?
The Bronx? That's where the malls are,
okay.
Right?
Okay. I mean, I
it's either the Bronx or Long Island. You gotta go either up or down.
I feel like that looked like a Long Island mall. I mean, to be fair, it looked like the same mall in which we saw the safety dance, but...
So, they actually went back to
it's the
Ohio
Glee Mall, yeah.
And, like, one guy tries to throw himself at her on stage, which I think is what prompts Sam to, like, worriedly, like, run back up stage as soon as she's done and, like, hug her as, like, a very, like, this is my woman sort of way, which you're like, okay. It's not a good song, and it's weird that we have to watch it.
Moving on.
Yes.
We got Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine, we learn in this episode, calls cupcakes baby cakes.
I did clock that.
Which
and
I think is... funny.
He's still bummed that he has been lying to Kurt.
Yeah.
And he's still carrying this lie.
And he does make one more, like, attempt. Like, it's clearly, like, what, a couple days before. Is this show happening in the Niata classroom, by the way? Because
that's
what
I was
like.
Wondering.
Because they're, like, they've got the fancy chairs and they're setting up the stage. So that's funny.
Right.
He's like, can we please just put Kurt on for one song? And Shirley MacLaine is doubling down on her I don't care for Job of it all.
Yep.
She does not care for Kurt.
And she will not have her reputation jeopardized because of your friend.
Yeah, it's very much history books will call them friends sort of vibes from Shirley MacLaine here.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, Blaine, you did this to yourself because, like, you did not have to lie. We've talked about it on the show.
We talked about it, yeah. I see why he did, but he didn't need to.
Sure, right.
And, like, they talk about it later, too, but he was wrong to lie in the first place.
Exactly.
It's probably a little rude of Shirley MacLaine not to give a little bit, but, you know, she's supposed to be a bad bitch, so.
Shirley MacLaine, noted bad bitch.
Yeah, noted bad bitch, Shirley MacLaine.
And so we then cut to Blaine singing All of You by John Legend.
Yeah.
Great choice for him.
Yep. And very, you know, stripped down, just Blaine and his piano. It's his vibe. It's his mode. This is how Blaine delivers bad news. So, it makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I know how you feel about ballads, so I could venture a guess at how you feel about the song.
I think it's fine.
And if this song weren't so saturated in that time, I might have enjoyed it more now. But now I hear that John Legend song and I'm like, Jesus Christ, again.
Too much John Legend.
Who I like. I like John Legend a lot. He's great. He's super talented. He writes great songs.
And I like this. I like that it's not as overwrought as the, like, I Cheated on You Teenage Dream. Like, he's singing, but he's not sobbing, you know? It's very heartfelt, and you you feel that, because Kurt comes in towards the end, you can feel that he means it, you know?
Right.
And again, this is how he breaks bad news, so he immediately rips the Band-Aid off. He's like, you're not in the showcase.
Right.
June never wanted you in the showcase. I'm very sorry.
And naturally, Kurt is upset that he lied to him.
Yeah, he's big mad about the lying, which is, like, very fair. And Blaine
very fair.
Tries to be like, well, I thought I could convince her and then it wouldn't have been a lie. And Kurt's like, that still sucks, though.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and again we ask, how much time has passed?
Unclear. It seems like maybe none. But
maybe none, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, it seemed like a lot of time had passed between the previous two episodes. So, no one can tell. We can't go by what Santana's hair looks like because she's not here. So
right, no hair color markers. And Kurt leaves. Sam's at the modeling call. He and this other model candidate talk about not getting laid,
because Sam has an anti-sex rubber band which he snaps on his wrist to get rid of the sexual feelings
of the dirty feelings.
And the other guy's like, man, I haven't had sex in 9 hours. I gotcha.
I know what you're feeling like. And Sam's like, yeah, okay.
Exactly.
And they find out they're all at this open call because the original model got busted for having an underground teacup dog fighting ring.
Great.
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
And this female photographer is looking for hot, sexy man. And
to do hot, sexy things.
And she brought in these ladies to walk around them to bring up the sex in the room.
Exactly.
And what better to do that than by singing Girls on Film.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
I won't lie to you. I think in my brain I conflated this performance with the already Addicted to Love one. So I kind of thought this had already happened. I didn't realize we hadn't already heard this song because I assumed when we heard Addicted to Love that we had also heard this one at the same time. I don't know. They're very similar in some ways. Just like the song's vibes, obviously.
Yeah.
But then it like morphs into like an 80s theme with like girls in 80s swimsuits and Sam's in like a man in the yellow hat suit, but make it sexy.
Right. And he's great with it.
Yeah, it's very fun. I liked it.
This is not necessarily obscure, but
okay.
Karina, do you know the Higher Love remix that's out by Whitney Houston as remixed by Kygo?
I think it's Kygo. Off the top of my head, it's possible I've heard it, but
it's cool. Like, yeah. And so the music video to that is a similar kind of vibe. It's essentially like one dude and a class of women who are dancing in 80s clothes.
Okay, yeah,
and. The song is a bop, of course, and it's great. But it wasn't out at the time, but right. I think it would have been pretty rad if this scene was a recreation of that music video.
Time-wise, that wouldn't work, of course, but...
Right.
Yeah,
but it was
pretty
cool. Similar energy. Yeah. I guess that's what I have to say on that. It was still, like, he did a great song for,
good song for
Cordova
Sam.
Street.
Yeah.
My only question in this, though, is like, is he not jerking off?
A great question.
Because, like, I get sexual tension or whatever, but, man, like, you're just not doing it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, like, the model camera lady is like, you're so full of sex that we need to use you.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, that's probably because I haven't had much sex in a while. And I'm like, Sam, guess what? You don't have to tell people.
I was just thinking the same
thing.
You
don't have to say to someone, it's probably because I'm a little, quote unquote, backed up. Yuck, first of all, that's not what they're going to assume you're talking about.
No.
And second of all, you don't have to be like, yeah, it's because me and my girlfriend are waiting for marriage. No one cares. They don't want to know.
Also, like, that's your boss. Like,
that is your boss.
That's
don't
officially
tell her
your
that.
Boss. Like, the first words you say to her as your boss are that. Come on, bro. So then the girls have a girl talk, the guys have a guy talk, and it's all about Mercedes and Sam that they should break up.
Yeah, it's like a sex intervention, but not just about that. So my first note was that we, like, cut to the boys, which the boys, of course, being Sam, Artie, and Blaine. Because Kurt is with the girls.
Yes.
And I'm watching, I'm like, why are they all three, like, playing this game, but it's clearly a two-player split screen? And they answer my question because there is, in fact, only two video game controllers, and they are rotating them around. So what I thought was a bad continuity error was instead a character choice. Although they're all three, like, hooked up to little Bluetooth mics, which is definitely unnecessary. But I was about to be like, Glee, and then I was like, oh, you got me, Glee.
One
half point to Glee.
Yeah, and so they're all talking like, you guys should break up, and for Mercedes, it's like, he's gonna cheat on you, and for the guys, it's like, what was it? Oh, I didn't write it down in my notes.
Was it something along the lines of, like, can you really actually, like,
right, something along the lines of that.
Last that long, basically.
And both Mercedes and Sam are like, you know what? Yes, we're going to stay together. Thank you for your concern.
Yeah, but we got it. Don't worry about it.
Also, did you notice what I noticed in this scene was two tiny bottles of what might have been wine, but they looked like balsamic vinegar.
That would be funnier.
and a bowl of grapes.
That's very curt.
Just
to
like,
set up a little
charcuterie
for the intervention.
Not even
a
charcuterie, just one bowl of grapes.
Well, when you're a broke college student, you get what you get, and that's just a bowl of grapes. Fair. And some balsamic vinegar.
Fine. Touche. Yeah, and Rachel ends it with, sometimes the best chance you have of staying together is by being apart for a while.
Fine,
okay.
Whatever.
We have Artie and Mary. She put a donut in her bra?
Yeah. Like, she's interviewing Artie at film school, clearly, and then he stops, like, saying whatever praise if Rachel is saying. So, like, did you just put a donut in your bra? And she's like, yeah, do you want this one?
Which I thought that was going to be the start of her flirting with Artie.
It felt like that, but I think it is supposed to just be like, look how quirky she is.
Right.
Like, because then you cut to her and Blaine, and she's, like, typing on her typewriter underneath
the desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Brittany crawls in during that and she's like, I love your pajamas. And Kristen Schaal's like, don't steal my pajamas.
There's mice in the pockets and a kitty in my pants, which is
what the fuck?
Glee, you really got that one in there, huh?
got that one in there.
Notable of this scene is she's like talking to Blaine and she's like, this is great stuff, but we're going to have to change your name. And she gives the options Slane or Fane.
Or Fane.
Which is, of course, two different potential ship names for Sam and Blaine, or I guess Finn Blaine would be Fane, which, like, I didn't know people cared about that, but go off, I guess.
I guess. I mean, I'm there. The fan fiction's got to be somewhere.
Of course, it's all out there. But
yeah, we stopped doing our fan fictions. But
yeah,
I'm sure it's there.
We can do it again.
Yeah,
maybe one day.
If you're good, you can have some fanfic as a treat. So, yeah, they do the first read-through of the first draft.
Wait,
everyone
is this
is
before,
a letter.
Before the read-through, though, we get, like, Kurt and Brittany talking to Rachel about it. And they're
yes,
just, like,
you're
chilling
right.
in her dressing room, which, once again,
yeah.
I want to say, like, can you do that?
It would be, I mean, you can if it's, like, enough time before the show or enough time before half hour. Like, if you're there an hour, hour and a half early, like, I'm sure it's
you
fine.
You can just bring a couple buds into your dressing room.
Especially, like, if you are the star and you have a good relationship with the doorman or the security.
Yeah, like, first of all, it feels like she should be on thin ice for her.
Good point. Good counterpoint there.
It just feels like one of those things that should be illegal, like, allowing just people who aren't in the show into the backstage dressing rooms.
Right.
It feels like it shouldn't be allowed.
I guess, yeah, because I guess it's like when people visit you at work, like,
right?
you can't really chill
but
with them.
But then also, like, if you are the kind of person who has an office and people visit you at work, I suppose, like, you're like, oh, yeah, come in and, like, sit with me for a minute. But that means, like, you're important enough to have an office, so.
I mean, I've hung out with Renee after the show a few times. So, like, there is a wiggle room
there
somewhere.
It also
feels
way different after the show than any time before a show.
True.
It just feels weird.
Sure, yeah.
The vibes feel strange. First read through of Rachel's script.
Jesus Christ.
My favorite line of this was Chris Colfer's reading of I'm cert,
like the breath mint.
Which, first of all, shout out to certs.
Shout out to certs.
My mom's breath mint of choice when I was younger. Love
yes,
a cert.
Lace.
That's it's good.
It's good. Man, I didn't really take notes on this section because that's when my dinner showed up.
It was just a lot. Like, Rachel's
it was
in the
a
bathtub
lot.
Eating a sheet cake. She
eating
says
a whole
like,
sheet cake.
Hashtag OMG, like, my gay NASA dads forgot my birthday. Kurt's in a dinosaur costume.
Being, like, glum millennial.
Yes. They go to a coffee rave.
Wild. Where everyone's just drinking coffee. Wild.
And, like, Artie is like, hey, can I stop? Because this speech goes on for 6 pages with no punctuation. Like.
Yep. Jesus.
Brittany's loving it.
Of course. I will say the two things that I loved about this episode were Brittany being 100% in for Kristen Schaal's whole thing. And Kurt being the straight man in all of this.
Yes.
We don't see, I don't think we see enough Kurt as the straight man, and it can be pretty grounding and pretty great when he's essentially the voice of the audience.
Also, Kristen Schaal wrote into this, her pilot, that Blaine and Brittany start sleeping together and open an art gallery together.
Yes, that was my other favorite part of this. And that they say it at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Very funny.
Yeah, it's all very weird, and everyone's like, Rachel, this is trash. Like, you can't do this. Right. This isn't you at all, also, because that's the whole thing. It's like, it's just supposed to be her dream is about portraying herself in a sitcom now. That's her dream. Right.
That's her dream
she
now.
She already got their dream of Fanny, and it's been at least a month and a half.
Maybe.
And she's done that dream now.
Yeah. So it's got to be your voice or no show at all.
Yeah.
So we cut to Kurt and Blaine on the stoop.
Yep.
Blaine all of a sudden doesn't want to do the showcase because Kurt is more important to him.
He feels like mad guilty, and Kurt's like, I've decided
ever
to
think about flying.
Yeah. The gist is Kurt's like, I'm not going to be mad at you. I was really invested in the showcase, so I can see why you lied. And Blaine's like, that's not really an excuse. And Kurt's like, no.
But at the same time, it's not like he was invested in the showcase. He was only invested because Blaine lied in the first place.
Yeah, and I guess we all know how it came about. Like, Kurt was trying to, Blaine was trying to protect feelings. It was a bad vibe.
Bad move.
And Kurt's basically like, look, you shouldn't have lied, but I'm always going to, like, stand up and support you because we're a team or whatever. It's like the same conversation they've had 800 times.
Exactly. And another, I mean, albeit mature, that recognizing, hey, no one's perfect, we're going to slip up, but we will choose to trust each other, have each other's back, and now it's your turn to fly. Let's go inside to bone down.
Yeah, it does have an end with, is it weird that all this is, maybe it's all the bird talk that's turning me on? I'm like, why'd you write that? Okay. Sure.
New character development just dropped.
Too into bird stuff. Okay.
I'm just imagining, like, Kurt in, like, a beak and giant yellow feather wings.
Big bird core. Big... Absolutely not.
Oh, absolutely yes.
We cut to the diner.
Yes.
Rachel is sitting with Kristen Schaal, who's picking off the top of her donut because she likes the suffering to get a plain donut the hard way.
Okay. Okay, go off, I guess.
And Rachel's tell her. Tell us.
Rachel's like, so this show sounds like you, not me. And Kristen Schaal's like, well, everybody wants an anti-hero.
Yes. And she's like, also, I'm so good at this, so you should listen to me.
Right. And she's like, you know what? You lack irony. Which also felt a little meta, and I don't know if I know how to describe why.
But Rachel's like, look, whenever I needed to explain something in Glee Club in high school, I would sing about it. And Kristen Schaal has the correct response, which is, oh, God,
oh,
no. But Rachel's like, nope, through song, I'm going to explain my vision for my pilot. And the vision is pink's glitter in the air.
This one threw me for a fucking loop.
I haven't thought about pink song glitter in the air maybe ever.
Since our friend Brittany Pieri choreographed a dance to it in 2012.
Sure. Great. So she was ahead of the Glee curve. Good for her.
Brittany Pieri, you trendsetter. Well done.
That's probably where Glee got the idea.
Exactly.
She sings this song and it works. Kristen Schaal's like, I get it now. And I'm like, I don't.
Thank you. I'm so glad we're on the same page. It's fine. It's of all songs. First of all pink songs.
Of all pink songs.
Second of all songs.
Of all songs to encapsulate the vibe of Rachel Berry.
On a trip, like, invite her to your show.
Right?
Truly, she's probably hiding it, but again, if she had just gone about this in a kosher way, agent could have hooked other agent up with a house seat for the show, and then it could have been, hey, this is who I am. I am a show woman. I am someone who does big broad comedy. I'm the greatest star. Hear me roar.
My man.
But no,
whatever.
Who are you now?
Yeah. No, so he sings a pink song, Glitter in the Air, and everyone's like, wow, I really understand you, Rachel. And I'm like, okay.
Glad someone does.
Yeah, right?
And Kristen Schaal, of course, as millennial-coded millennial,
yep,
is like, what is this feeling? I'm
is this
happy?
Yeah. You're like, yeah,
that's
okay.
Never happened before. And you're like, okay, we get it. Housing crisis.
It sucks to be your age. You're right.
Yeah. Can confirm or whatever. And Rich's like, so you'll do it? And Kristen Schaal's like, they'll never make it, but I'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Rachel's like, I have to hug you. And Kristen Schaal's clearly uncomfortable with this, but receives a hug anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In the millennial awkward, like, oh, I don't know how to hug. I've never felt love before, you know.
How is Gen Z not referencing all of this in all their TikToks dragging
millennials? Right, if you want to drag us, there she is.
She's right there. Like, Ryan Murphy did the work for you.
For real.
Take a break.
We cut to Sam's modeling gig.
Yeah.
Here's what I have written down. This photographer's couple has yelling out your typical, like, photographer instructions, like, yes, you know, give me this. And at one point she just yells, chocolate, banana. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh, that's so funny.
What does that mean
so funny.
In a modeling sense?
Honestly, when you know, you know.
Sure. Now you know that's why I'm not a model, because I wouldn't know how to pose as chocolate or banana.
Because, so here's the thing, and I promise this is related.
Okay.
So, have you come across on TikTok that woman who, her sort of famous character is your college acting teacher?
Yes.
And she's consistently giving you notes, and she's like, make it more like oatmeal.
Yes.
Make it more like minestrone soup.
That's the same vibe.
Which is something that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I thought about that the other day, and I thought about, okay, so how do I approach a monologue like whole milk, like heavy cream? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Of course.
And that's how you know that I have a degree in theater.
Yeah, that you understand what it means to act like oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
So they pause the shoot because Sam's not feeling it. And the photographer lady sends all the people out of the room, offers him some beer, a reminder that all these people are supposed to be 19. Not the photographer lady, but all of her main cast.
Right.
And she's like, whatever, what they don't know won't hurt them.
Also, we glazed over the fact that he's like, well, your assistant's looking at me funny. And the assistant's response is, are your nipples out
uneven.
Of line?
Uneven, yeah.
Uneven.
That's true. How could I forget uneven nipples?
How can you never forget uneven nipples?
And then, after a lot of back and forth, the photographer, who is the boss, starts macking on Sam.
Yep.
They do a little kissing.
Just a little bit.
Just a little kiss.
Leave guilt out of your emotions. No one's here. We can do whatever we want.
Yuck. I don't like this.
The presumed age difference,
the power imbalance, all bad.
All bad.
Questionable consent. No, thank you.
Nope. No mercy. And then he gets home and Mercedes, girlfriend of the year, if I had just come home from a modeling contract, I would be all over them, as Shirley MacLaine calls them, baby cakes.
Yes, all over those baby cakes. Sam, for his credit, immediately confesses. He's
immediately.
Like, nope, I'm sorry,
again,
I cheated on you. Very adult.
The only character arc with solid legs and footing and maturity.
Yes. And so he explains what happens. Mercedes is like, I mean, you didn't really cheat on me. It was just a kiss. And it's not like you kissed her back. He's like, I mean, I did sort of. And
like,
I will say,
out of instinct,
it
you
does
know?
Feel like kind of normal that if someone goes in and kisses you, you don't like, I don't know. I don't know how much
right.
that instinct thing holds up, but like, I could see it.
I could see it.
But then they sit down and have a very mature conversation about their relationship. Like, look,
yes,
you know, this probably actually isn't going to work long term because of the directions our lives are going. So,
and
let's break it off on a high note, basically.
Exactly. And I do love that they were like, it doesn't mean we're not meant to be together, but we need to be apart now.
Yes. And Mercedes is like, you know, and if I change my mind about the whole waiting thing, I'll give you a call. Like, great.
Great. Also, the valid point of if I make you wait for another, well, she says till I'm 30.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's 11 years.
Yep.
You'll resent me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, correct. That's good perspective.
Yeah, the fact that she's like, I want to wait till I'm married, but I don't want to get married young is all very reasonable. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was like, wow, great. Good for them. Very adult.
Man, I wish that was the spinoff.
Sam Sadie's?
Yeah.
I mean, more Sam.
More Sam.
Sam Blaine, buddy, you know, buddy action series.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what we need.
Even with Artie in there, like, I'm down for it.
I liked the three of them just shooting the shit while they were trying to do an intervention.
Yes.
We hard cut to the showcase.
Okay.
Ian, what song is this?
This song is actually the best song choice we've seen in a long fucking time. It is No Time at All from Pippin.
Okay.
This, I mean, of course, it is a great fun time song.
Mm-hmm.
I love Pippin, so
yes,
like I'm going to be in its corner.
Known Pippin lover.
Known Pippin lover, known Pippin aspirant, aspiree.
Sure.
Cast me as Pippin. This is the perfect song because it is sung by Pippin's, Pippin's grandmother, Charlemagne's mother.
Okay.
So even more so. Perfect song to have a Shirley MacLaine sing with Blaine.
Yes, an old star singing with a new young ingenue.
Yes. And this is, I mean, and it's perfect because if you have an artistic showcase for young theater nerds and boomer arts patrons.
This is the perfect song. Yeah.
This is the sweet spot. And it slaps. They do a great fucking job.
Yeah.
They have the audience singing along, A+, like, all notes, good notes. So I love this. I absolutely love this.
I'm so glad. I'm glad they gave you a little bit of Pippin as a treat.
Thank you.
He said Ian's gotten through this far. Let's toss him a bone.
Let's toss him a bone.
Let's give him Shirley MacLaine and Darren Criss, two good singers singing a song that's good for them, and it also happens to be Ian's favorite thing, Pippin. This is a little treat for you.
And this. And this is what, like, this is just, it's just appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, why weren't they singing this last week? Why were they singing Janis Joplin?
Great question.
So.
When they had this in their repertoire the whole time. I guess they probably
exactly.
just practiced it, but still.
Right. But even, like, something along this line, a 1970s Stephen Schwartz, give me a Godspell,
mm-hmm.
give me
mm-hmm.
Another Pippin or something. Like,
more Pippin, yes.
Give me more Pippin. A hair. Like, there's so much great 60s, 70s.
You didn't do enough hair in this show.
Correct. Give me something from that 60s, 70s Broadway era. It's rife. Rife? Ripe? There's so much to do. Thank you. Yeah. So, I don't know what you thought about it. It's your turn.
I liked it. It was fine.
Great.
I don't recognize the song, and I was like, this is just a slightly weird Broadway number. But
perfect.
I had no negative feelings towards it.
Great.
No, I guess knowing the context makes me like it a little bit more. So
right.
I'll give it that.
And I guess Kurt sort of like walks up near Shirley MacLaine.
Well, like it ends like, and that's like the end of the showcase, but they're demanding an encore.
Yes, that's why he walks up.
And he's, like, up to them, and Shirley MacLaine once again pulls a, like, it's so nice of you to come and support
your friend.
Through this. And Kurt's like, he's not my friend. He's the love,
he's
of,
my the
life,
love of my life.
And I'll always be here for him. And Shirley MacLaine's like, sure.
We'll see about that.
Right. Like, she's planning to murder Kurt in his sleep, perhaps.
Kurter.
But the encore happens, and Blaine's like, oh, my God, if you're here to celebrate me, you're also here to celebrate my fiance. And so against Shirley MacLaine's wishes, he pulls Kurt onto stage to do a duet with him. And they sing. They do a duet of American Boy, which is Estelle feat. Kanye West, apparently.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Why this?
I have a question.
Why this decision?
I have a question for you, Ian.
Yes.
Were you, and I'm certain I know the answer because our TikTok for you pages are wildly different. But were you ever on the side of TikTok where a Fortnite parody of this song was a trending sound.
No, but I wish I was. That sounds great.
Dude, number one victory royale. Yeah, Fortnite, we've about to get down. 10 kills on the board right now. Ditch set down Tomato Town.
Wait, no, I have heard this.
Okay.
I have. I think I might have heard this like today.
Yeah, it's like a small child singing this American Boy parody about Fortnite. We can be pro Fortnite gamers. And that's all I could think about the whole thing.
Correct. You're correct. Because this song, what the fuck?
It's like, once again, they were like, we're going to show you how great Kurt can be. And again, pick a terrible, like,
terrible
there's so
song.
Many good duets for Blaine and Kurt.
There's so many. And I literally, again, more Pippin. Yeah. I literally wrote, this is Sabotage. Why don't you just do Sabotage?
Yeah. But
that would be more appropriate.
The thing is, apparently, though, it works.
It works so well, everybody starts doing the electric slide.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Literally. That was it. What?
It would have been better if they had sang Fajudores from The Grinch, actually. You know, it takes place in May, but just sing the song about... yeah, they sing American Boy. It's not very good. It's not the worst thing.
It is so bad. But... And especially, Kurt, I'm so sorry to cut you off. Kurt jumping up on the piano, gyrating his hips and all of this.
That's not going to make Shirley MacLaine respect you.
That is the opposite of ingratiating yourself to Shirley fucking MacLaine.
That's not
or
the
whatever
vibe.
Her character
these people
is.
Just chowed down on a Pippin song, and your thought is that...
Look, if you wanted to give them edgy... Do fucking Tommy or
do some hair.
Do some hair. Maybe do a Spring Awakening.
Oh my god.
That... Do a Totally Funked.
Oh, that would have been.
Do a Bitch of Living.
Ian, you're saying the bad words.
And I
they
know.
Couldn't even. There's still like a lot of songs in. Like, I don't know. Kurt's voice is good. I like Chris Cole for singing, but he's like. Blaine's like perfect pop boy voice. When they do pop songs, it just overshadows Kurt all the time, as we discussed with
yes.
the One Direction problem. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they could have done so many other things.
So many other things.
But it works and everyone's in love. Can I tell you my other gripe with this, though?
Please.
So all the Glee kids, hooray, are of course there to support them. Rachel is dressed so casually.
Yes.
Like, the rest of them, like, Kurt's obviously full suit. Mercedes is wearing, like, a blouse and a pencil skirt, which is, of course, what they're, the oversized, like, that's what they're gonna dress up as a plus-size actress, which, like,
right.
you don't stand, but I get. You know?
The oversized starter kit.
Yeah, right? Sam's in a button-up and slacks. Artie has, like, suspenders and a bow tie on. Rachel's wearing... A like pencil skirt and a sweater? Like,
yeah.
You're telling me Miss Rachel Berry doesn't know how to dress to impress socialite Shirley MacLaine?
I call bullshit.
It's like they forgot what event they were dressing her for. And it's not like she's wearing what she was wearing earlier when she was singing Glitter in the Air. It's a different oversized sweater.
A different sweater.
Yeah, she's dressing only in oversized sweaters and miniskirts. I was annoyed. I'm like, Rachel, you couldn't put her in
that's valid.
A nice dress. A fancy blouse, at least. You're putting her in, like, an oversized sweater. No,
well, maybe she heard that it was going to be at the Niata Hall, and she was like, great.
She's in disguise.
And that was
she's
all
hiding
she heard.
From Carbon Thibodeau.
Right.
She dropped out. So, yeah. Bad. Shame on you,
bad.
Glee.
0 out of 10.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole showcase.
That's it. Everyone
Whatever.
Loves it. And Shirley MacLaine is like, you know what? When you're right, you're right, and you were right.
No one's proven me wrong in whatever years, but this is true love.
You remind me of my third marriage. He was also gay. LOL.
But, yeah.
And then she's like, let's have a party, and I'm like, we could have ended the episode right here.
We could have, but we can't, actually.
Mm-hmm, we can't.
Because we catch the tail end of Rachel's new script, which
mm-hmm.
was full of some sort of cheesy line I didn't bother to remember. I did bother to
right.
remember Artie saying, I love this new version, and not just because I can walk in it. Excuse
Cute.
Me?
Cute.
And then they see, like, Brittany hates it. Clearly.
Right, of course.
And then we see like them all rushing outside. I don't know if there was an impetus for this.
Sam like saw it out of the corner of his eye or something.
Yeah. But we see a bus pull up and it's Sam model like half naked on the side of a bus.
And he can go home now.
Yep. And he's like, Artie's like, wow, what a beginning of a great career. He's like, nope, I'm done. This is what I wanted. I've achieved it. I'm moving back to Ohio.
I achieved my dream at age 19.
And now I can.
And so let me go back to the Midwest.
And, you know, but he does say, like, look, I like it when things are slower and I don't have to, like, he's basically like, I'm not cut out for big city life. So.
Fair.
Which I think is basically what he said when he visited with Blaine in the Moving Out episode. So, right. Like, he's like, yeah, no, I just don't really like it here. I've achieved my modeling dream, and so I'm going to go back to where I feel more comfortable and happy and, like, fair. Fine. And he's not, you know, his girlfriend's going on tour, and they just broke up. So, like, he's got no real Nothing's reason keeping... to stay.
Maybe he can finally figure out what's going on with Nurse Penny.
Right? He's got something to look forward to. And he's like, and plus, we're all scattering anyway.
Right.
And they do the, like... They do the, like, joke from Wet Hot American Summer, except they don't do it as a joke. They do it in earnest of the, like,
right.
In 6 months, let's meet back right here. I'm like, here on the sidewalk? Okay.
yeah.
Because, like, we're all friends, and if New York has taught me anything, it's important to be by the, with your side or whatever. Like, the real New York was the friends you made along the way.
Literally that.
Or at least
That's
the
literally
ones
it.
Who were available.
At least the ones who could come and shoot this episode.
Yeah. And not the ones who pissed Leah Michelle off. Yeah.
Allegedly. So. Okay. So.
So let's not forget the line where Kurt says. Yeah, they start hugging. And Kurt says, "Ugh, I would just kill to break into song right now."
Well, you're in luck, bitch.
Ian, what do they start singing?
They sing... Pompeii by Bastille.
Yeah, remember how every time you turn on the radio around 2014, Pompeii
this
by Bastille
was
playing? Well, Glee also noticed that.
They did. What a song that is clearly about a breakup.
Yeah. What does this have to do with
anything? Literally, I think because they clocked the line, if you close your eyes, does it feel like nothing's changed before? If you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? Even though, like, the rest of that song is very much like, hey, we're fucked up.
Yeah, I think they really try to play the line, am I going to be an optimist about this? Is like, isn't it exciting to be going into new change and not, like, am I going to be an optimist about my relationship situation?
My shitty relationship. Yeah. Oh, I hated it. I hate it.
It makes no sense for them to be singing Pompeii. But they do, and they dance down the streets, and it's intercut with, like,
Sam's back to McKinley.
He went back to high school, which is very sad, and, like, peers into the room and's like, oh, remember it's a computer lab?
Right. Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah, that was the chorus.
I completely forgot.
Choir room. We see Blaine sensibly moving into the loft, because since Mercedes and Sam have moved out, he's got nowhere to live, so he moves back in with Kurt, which was the downfall of their relationship last time, but whatever. Artie's still in film school. Good for
Mercedes
him.
Mercedes gets in a cab, probably to go out on tour.
With Brittany, I assume. And then we pause the song for Rachel to answer the phone, have a conversation, and be like, guys... That was the network, which made me laugh. To just say, like, it was them, the network.
it's me, the network.
She got it, you know.
We want to do Rachel Berry project.
Yes, they're doing the untitled Rachel Berry project. Maybe they'll call it Glee. Who knows?
Honestly, that would have only been appropriate.
Don't worry, we'll find out what they call it.
Oh, God damn it.
We're not done yet. Everyone's happy for her, and then they finish out singing Pompeii. And this season ends with Rachel Berry, Leah Michelle, making straight eye contact with the camera, almost winking. Like, she doesn't wink, but she just looks straight into the camera, and then that's it. That's how the show ends.
Also, this was after too many close-ups of other cast members doing the background vocals.
Yeah.
Which is just going, eh-oh. So you know that they had to have shots on their shot list of that day of, okay, now get Kevin just going, okay, now get Heather Morris.
Yep. I'm sorry we brought you in for this. Just stand there and go, A-O-A-O.
Can we get playback?
Yeah.
Like, so fucking bonkers. Oh my god. Like, and here, the thing is, like, I totally buy that there is a space for Glee to have done Pompeii as a rollicking season 3 or season 2 style finale number of an episode. Totally the space for that. This ain't it, kid.
This is not it. It does not encapsulate the vibe you're trying to. It does in, like, tone, because it's a happy sounding song, but, like, you can't just ignore the meaning of a song.
Right.
They do it all the time.
And again, I ask, congratulations and all, but, like, how much time has passed?
How much time has passed? We still don't know. Enough time for Sam to make it back to Ohio, but that means nothing.
That means, I mean, that could have been a 2-hour train ride.
Right. And
he had enough time to sing Roots Before Branches, so maybe 5 minutes.
That's true. It's just, what a way to end it. Like, no one cared, right? They're just like,
no one cared.
Come on, get out. And we, like, have one cool overhead shot.
Right. Like, my conclusion on this, season 5 could have ended with, like, that could have been Glee, that could have ended with, like, the graduation of that younger class, similar to last year. Fine. And be and maybe intercut with Rachel booking Funny Girl.
Yeah.
Maybe season 5 ends with Funny Girl opening. Mm-hmm. Season 6 starts a year later.
Yeah.
Maybe Rachel's contract is up. Maybe she just renewed her contract, but she's starting to regret it because she's done this. She's lived her dream, and now it's a job like we've talked about, and it's not been 6 weeks, but it's been a year. And so season 6 is is basically everything we saw in the past 2 episodes of her trying to figure out how to get to LA and how to branch out. Maybe she's not happy with her agent anymore because she's realized her agent isn't really looking out for her best interests, so she has to deal with that, and that creates some drama. And then season 6 ends with this, in the way that, like, everyone has grown. They've all, maybe, like, we get more of Mercedes building up her record career, Sam getting to do more modeling, and then making that decision at the end of that. Mercedes going out on tour, fine. And then season 7 could just be whatever happens in season 6 that we're going to watch soon.
Right. I can't wait to show you season 6.
I'm fascinated.
It's wild. But we're not there yet. We still have to talk about season 5. And the first thing we have to talk about is the music we have listened to today. Yep. I got distracted and read an E! Article about Naya Rivera not being there. And a quote from an insider who works on the show is, we love Naya and only want the best for her. Hopefully we can work it out. Right now, we all need a moment. Best for everyone. Which is like,
okay.
Woof.
Yeah.
But Ian, let's talk about the music we had to listen to today.
Let's.
You can, and by can I mean must, choose a song from this episode to own on your iPhone forever. When you plug it into a car aux, it will play whether you want it to or not.
Weird.
Here's your choices. Shaking My Head, which, yes, I do believe was released on iTunes.
Right.
All of Me, Girls on Film, Glitter in the Air, No Time at All, American Boy, or Pompeii.
I think I'll do No Time at All.
You have to. You're the Pippin boy.
Ian Brodsky, Pippin boy.
Pippin's number one stan, Ian Brodsky.
We're going to make t-shirts about that.
It was good. It was meant for you, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. What about you, Karina? What are you choosing?
I guess I'm going to go with Girls on Film. I didn't, like, actually love a lot of the songs in this episode. Not a lot of hits, so.
Until No Time at All came up, I would have gone with Girls on Film.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah.
Pompeii
out of context might be fun, but at the same time,
I'm so mad at it that, like,
I'm so mad at it. Also, like, I like Bastille. Like, I'm just going to listen to Bastille.
Well, Ian, it's also the end of a season.
It's the end of a season. Holy shit.
So, I gotta, you know, do you have any standout songs from this one that you feel like,
oh my god,
here, I have this for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I just, Ooh, come on. There you go.
Perfect.
I don't know if they are, and they're in chronological order.
Amazing. Also, like, I know our season having been prolonged is not helping my recollection.
Recall, yeah.
My recall. Standout songs. I mean, what does the fox say?
Yeah, that
definitely stands out.
For the wrong reasons.
Right.
The songs from More Than a Feeling, America, and Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For continue to be a high point.
Oh my
for
God,
me.
Yes. Honestly, yes. That whole set is top tier.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a high point. I'm trying to remember when they did Jumpin'. Oh, was that was for
Trio?
That was for the Glee Club, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
For Trio.
Sam, Tina, and Blaine sang Jumpin'.
I Love LA is definitely a standout as well.
Yes, I Love My Friends by Kris Jenner.
Exactly. Not Defying Gravity, the one above it.
Yes.
Toxic was a standout for me.
Toxic
and yes, of course, it's because I'm
you.
Because of course it was like a Quinn, a sexy Quinn song. But
it was.
I'm still looking. Oh, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman is a standout.
Yeah.
Addicted to Love is great.
Addicted to Love was good.
Who Are You Now? Honestly, that one's a standout for me. I really like that. That Thing, Doo-Wop was so great. Memory, We
Can't
Speak
Forget
Your
Memory.
Name.
Yeah.
Can't Forget Memory. Blessed Be. Take Me Home Tonight was great.
Take Me Home Tonight was good. Although in the middle of just like everything in this back half, you know, a lot of stinkers.
A lot of stinkers in this back half. But if I had to like narrow it down, Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For and Toxic are probably the top two for me.
Those are good choices. Yeah, Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For still makes me cry.
Dude, so good. And so good for Sam.
Yeah.
Like that again, that whole set, like we get our wee bit of justice for Tina, so God bless.
I can't believe we started this season with a bunch of Beatles songs and now it's
so much Beatles.
How far we are from there.
Oh my God.
It's a lot. Overall, how are your thoughts and feelings on this season of Glee?
I mean, ultimately they sort of harken back to what I think it could have been.
Yeah.
In the whole, I don't know, like I know I hold space for the fact that Cory Monteith passed away and that threw a wrench in the works. So I definitely hold the space for it, like because like the season was just a mess and there's just so much going on and very little of it made sense. So I don't know, man. It's a no for me, dog.
Do you think the decision to cut it in half and move the second half to New York was good or ultimately more harmful?
I think ultimately more harmful.
Yeah.
Like, because I think... Go on, please.
Well, like, it's hard to have a show be two shows, right? Which is what they were trying to do with before. Like, that wasn't doing it good either. But, like, does that mean the answer would have been really to write off the old guard of, like... Kurt and Santana and Rachel and like just focus on the high school stuff, which is like Glee proper? But then like they weren't going to do that because they can't ditch their main character, their star, you know?
Right. That is,
and without
that is
the, like,
tricky.
Fabled New York Glee spinoff as its own show, like I understand why they probably thought it was an idea, but yeah, it does feel like it made it into a different show.
Yeah, and I feel like there is a way to do the two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is because I'm not a television writer.
Right. They clearly never figured it out.
But I don't think... Because they did something with it, and not all of it was bad. Like, there were a few episodes in the middle of season 5 where we're like, hey, this is actually really good. What happened?
Yeah, right? There's always little glimpses, and that's the problem with Glee is that... Even in the worst of it, you sometimes get little glimpses of, like, this is a fun show to watch.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if it maybe boils down to the fact that they started to focus on the wrong characters in season 4.
Yeah.
So, them pivoting back to our main gang, even the ones that are still in high school, it's...
Yeah.
It's disjointed. If you had just focused on Tina, Blaine,
right.
Sam, Artie.
From the get of season four, you might have had a more cohesive story to tell.
Right. And then maybe the spinoff, maybe that is the show about Ryder, Marley,
right.
Puck, what have you.
Yeah.
Kitty.
Justice for Tina for getting written out of the second half of this show, even though it seemed like up until the wire she was going to go to New York City, and then they were like, just kidding, bye.
Right.
But maybe, you know, good for her for not having to deal with whatever plots they would have given New York Tina would probably been worse. So,
yeah, what's worse than character assassination? They'd find it.
Right. Well, but that's it.
Yeah.
We've done it. We've gotten through.
We've done it. Holy shit.
I think my least favorite season.
Same. Agreed. So far. Yeah.
Yeah. But damn. That means next time we get to discuss not my favorite season, but a season that I do enjoy.
Okay.
There's just something about season six, and it's maybe just like the fact that everyone knew it was the end. No one seemed to like care anymore. That just makes it for some buck wild TV.
Okay.
It's also short. It's half the length. It's 12 episodes. It's nothing. Yeah. It's for babies, you know?
Very standard in today's TV culture.
Yes, but going from 22 episodes down to 12. I mean, 22 to 20 to 12.
Right.
Yeah, but before we talk about what we're doing next, you can find the show.
Yes.
Glee Aggressive on all the social media platforms, gleeaggressive@gmail.com for sending us your long form thoughts, feelings, and information.
What should they write in about this week?
Is there any Bastille song that would have been more appropriate for this moment?
Give me a minute.
Is there any Bastille song that you could fit into this and be like, oh, that makes sense?
Not into this moment, but I can think of ones that Glee could have done a decent job with.
Here, I got another one for you, though.
Okay.
I think I'm writing about. Cast the Glee kids in Pippin for me.
Who are what they playing are we talking?
In Pippin? Anyone, any child who has been on Glee.
Any child. Okay. So, Rachel is Catherine, because that's technically the leading lady, even though she doesn't really show up until Act 2.
Fine.
Mercedes is the leading player. Because that would be fucking ferocious. I do think Finn is Pippin.
Okay.
Because
but he can't move.
Maybe Sam, but
don't you have to be able to move your body to do Pippin?
Yes, but character-wise, Finn, Cory Monteith, is so good at the sort of like man-child, lost boy trying to figure his life out sort of thing. I think it works. And I think him being just such a fucking, like, larger-than-life physically dude, him sort of standing out that way, that, I could see that helping.
Okay.
I think Blaine, oh, you know what? No. Blaine is the king.
Okay.
King Charlemagne. I think Kurt is Louis, the brother, the stepbrother.
Sure.
Santana is Fastrada, the stepmother, and she is eating. And I'm trying to remember, like, what other characters there are in Pippin. Oh, and then they get, like, and then I feel like they cast Artie as the little boy Theo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, that's my casting of Pippin. All y'all write in. Yeah. And shout out to Otto, friend of the show.
Yes.
Who wrote in to talk about some, castrati versus countertenor media. Also shouted out an anniversary of a Glee anniversary from around this time. Yeah, talking about how castrati were castrated at a young age to preserve their ranges, as opposed to like a Chris Colfer who trained his voice to stay in a higher register, which is cool. And so Otto was telling us, I guess this past Wednesday from when we're recording was the 9th anniversary of the finale of Glee.
Aw.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it looks like Otto celebrated by playing a whole
four plus hour long official album of Glee's hits.
Yeah, they released that on Spotify. Spotify released a bunch of like new Glee stuff, which isn't like new, but like you're like, oh, what is this? I saw that busting around. The Glee cast was like, here's some new things for us. The Glee hits, musicals, party playlist, sad songs. Yeah.
Shout out to Glee of the Week for also posting about it, because that's the first way I knew about it.
Yeah. Well, Ian, where can people find you?
You can find me at iBroski on Twitter and Instagram and all the social medias, actually. And not really Twitter anymore, I guess. So you can find me at iBroski on all the social medias that count. IanJBrodsky.com. Go check out my GoFundMe to make my next album. Donate if you're so inclined. I appreciate all the support. We're going to have a rollicking good time making a new album for y'all. Ooh. So, Karina, where can people find you?
You can find me at the same handle on both Blue Sky and TikTok, and that is Epic Adventure Of.
And that, buy our merch.
Yeah. Maybe they'll,
and that's the
maybe
show.
We'll make more. That is the show. We have finally done it. We are through with season 5. We get to move on to season 6. You can join us next week. We'll be there with episode 1 of season 6, the final season of Glee, if you can believe it.
Karina, this is wild.
Yeah.
We've been doing this shit for 3 years.
Yeah, and we're so close to being done. And we're getting into a better place, I think.
Right.
But you can join us next week. We'll be discussing season 6, episode 1, called Loser Like Me.
I don't think it's going to be next week, but thank you.
Yes, that's fair.
We'll probably take a hiatus.
That's fair. I forgot that was the end of the season. That's the vibes. You can join us next time.
Right.
We'll be discussing season 6, episode 1, called Loser Like Me.
Loser Like Me.
Get it, Ian?
I do.
That was one of their songs?
Yes.
You remember.
Thank you. I do.
So, Ian, did this season of Glee make you want to watch the final season of Glee?
No, but knowing that it's the final... I want to watch it because I know it's the final season of Glee.
Yes, you got to figure out how they're going to tie this thing in a little bow.
Exactly.
How can they get themselves out of this maze of suffering they have set up?
Right.
Glee! Aggressive! Glee! Glee! Aggressive! Glee! Glee! Aggressive!